Our in-depth guest today is DJ Lee, author of the new book, Remote, Finding Home in the Bitterroots, from Oregon State University Press. DJ is a Regents Professor of Literature and Creative Writing at Washington State University, the director of the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness History Project, and a scholar fellow at the Black Earth Institute. She's published 8 books on literature, history, and ecology. Remote is her first memoir. The book won first place for memoir in the Idaho Writers Guild 2020 competition, and it was featured as one of the most anticipated books of 2020 by the Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association. In the words of writer and Idaho native Kim Barnes, Remote is part adventure story, part cautionary tale. DJ Lee's quest weaves through memory and meaning like a broken trail. The ghost she is searching for, her grandmother, her grandfather, her friend lost in the wilderness and never found, appear and disappear in moments of mystery. Always, what she offers is a map that we might follow. More than blood, it's story that binds us, all that we have to make sense of our lives. DJ, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Ken.
Before we started, I usually start off with a little intro here on how you're doing during the pandemic, but the book is fascinating. There's so much to talk about, so let's get right to it. It starts out in the first few pages as a mystery. A friend of yours goes missing in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, and you join the search to find her. Can you tell us a little bit about your missing friend, Connie Sailor Johnson, who was 76 when she was last seen, and I think you had met her about 13 years earlier?
Yeah, so Connie was a legend back in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, which is a 1.3 million acres, and then it's also attached to the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness to make over 5,000 acres of roadless land. So it's a huge place. Connie was a legend before she went missing. She loved hiking alone. She was also just extremely people-oriented. She was originally a teacher, and teaching was what she did constantly. She just was oriented that way. So she was cooking for a hunting camp up at a place called Big Rock in early October 2018. They went on a little side trip for a few days, and they think that she went for a hike up to the rock. And at that point, nobody knows what happened to her. I still don't. It's was just so shocking because she was so beloved by people far and wide across the U.S. People came out of the woodwork to try to search for her, that she, of all people who knew so much about the place, would disappear is still mind-boggling.
Now, the mystery aspect is a big part of the book, of course, but it evolves into much more. A history not just of the Selway Bitterroot area and the Namipu people, also known as the Nez Perce, who are its native inhabitants. And I didn't know this, but going back over 11,000 years. But it's also a family history as well, the book, a meditation on women and wilderness, even a ghost story. And you've said you started out thinking you were just writing a history book because that's your background as a scholar and an academic. And you started writing the book before Connie's disappearance. How did Remote change in about the 15 years you worked on it?
Yeah, well, I had originally started it as a research project when my grandmother died. She and my grandfather had lived back there for 12 years in the 20s, 30s, and early 40s. And I didn't know anything about the place because my grandfather had died when I was an infant, so I never knew about it. My grandmother never talked about it, even though I was very close with her. When she died, that she left a box full of all of this information about the wilderness, and that to me was her way of saying, you need to go find out about this place. So along with friends and family and people like Connie, who worked for the Forest Service, archaeologists, artists, I went in many, many times thinking that I actually did do a research project. I started an archive and did 50 oral histories of people who'd lived and worked back there over the years. But at some point, I realized I had done all of this personal writing about it too, and that to tell this story apart from my own personal story and the mystery of my family, which there's still things that I don't know and will never know about my grandfather especially, but also my grandmother. I actually had to learn a different way of writing, which was a surprise to me, because at that point I'd written like 6 academic and scholarly books, and I just thought, oh yes, I can just do this, but I couldn't. So I actually had to go back and get my MFA to learn how to weave narrative and history and meaning together.
I was gonna, in the next question, mention your grandparents, so George and Esther Case. And as you said, Esther, your grandmother left you all these incredible documents, and yet you call her in the book the Queen of Concealment. There's a little bit of a paradox there.
Yeah, well, because she had this habit when you asked her things that she didn't want to talk about, like my grandfather, like certain parts of her past, she'd just say, oh, there's nothing to say. Or let's go out to the garden. She had her way of pivoting and diverting. But she did keep a lot of things that then surfaced after she was gone. A lot of relics, some old movies that my grandfather had shot in the 20s and 30s. He had one of the first moving cameras, personal moving cameras, and he shot so much footage back there in the wilderness, mainly of animals. He was obsessed with animals. So she kept all this stuff. It must have had meaning for her, even though during her lifetime she denied that it did.
Now, the book is very much, all these mysteries, these ghosts, and of course the wilderness itself, but it's also has a central theme of mother and daughter relationships. And that's between your mother, Shirley, who accompanies you on several of your backpacking trips into the wilderness, and the one between Shirley and her mother, Esther, who we've talked a little bit about. And that was somewhat of a dysfunctional relationship between Shirley and Esther. And you said growing up, you had a similar relationship, somewhat similar between your mother and you. How did these relationships change over the course of researching and writing the book?
Well, I think that was my main motivation without really realizing it for choosing this topic as my next kind of research topic. I mean, ostensibly, I needed to find out the history of this place because that was what I did as training. But when I look back, I think it was about trying to heal those relationships. And in the book, I do talk somewhat in a few chapters about the rising field of epigenetics, which scientists have now proven that certain traumatic events that happen to us or our ancestors are actually passed down through our DNA. And the country most responsible for doing the kind of healing work of epigenetics is Germany, post-war Germany, and not the Jewish people, but the Germans. So it's, you know, dealing with guilt that may not be yours, but it may be your ancestors.
So the guilt in some respects can be inherited.
Yes.
Genetically.
Yeah. Guilt and trauma and fear and a lot of things. So I began to see that kind of healing taking place through these different trips into the wilderness, and especially with my mom. She and my father volunteered at one of the remote outposts called Shearer Airstrip for 5 years, and I went back there every year with them. And I feel like those weeks that I spent with them were really healing weeks. And I didn't care for the wilderness because I felt like maybe the trauma that caused the kind of difficulties in the mother-daughter relationships had stemmed from this land, and maybe it did. But I started to realize the land also had this healing effect. So the very thing that caused us to feel shattered was the thing that that brought us intimacy. And that happened over many years, and I didn't realize the kind of reversal of that until quite late in the process.
Yeah, the book does get into the spiritual and what some people might call the mystical aspects of the wilderness. In a previous interview, you called the Selway Bitterroots a mythological place. And traditionally, in religious literature, spiritual literature, the wilderness is where people go to have dreams and visions. Did you experience that here? Did that healing take place, in other words?
Yeah. And I have to say that because I'm a scholar, by training, I resisted the mythological and the mystical aspects of the wilderness for quite a while, and I was very hard-nosed about it, and I did not want to romanticize it or read into it. And I know that the Nimiipuu and the Salish use the land for not only for homes, but also for their own spiritual ritual. So I didn't want to like appropriate or tag on to that. But honestly, wilderness has been a spiritual place for Celtic people, for many early peoples, you know? And so eventually the wilderness broke me and was like, damn it, I'm mystical and you have to accept it. So I do feel something nostalgic and I do feel when I'm not there. And then when I'm there, I definitely get this sense of awe and something larger than myself at work that I will never understand and probably not meant to understand.
I love in the book and in some of your past interviews, you make the connection between going into the wilderness as you did and writing a memoir, which you did. So you had that kind of double whammy experience. You said that writing this book has been like going into the wilderness itself. It forces you to face things you'd rather not. You have to open yourself to it and let it do its work. And you used an epigraph, a quote from the writer W.G. Sebald, German, since we're talking about Germans.
Yeah.
Ghosts and writers meet in their concern for the past. Was that just something you picked up on as you were writing, as you were backpacking into the wilderness on your quest here, and also learning this different way to write, which you talked about, rather than straight academic, personal memoir, kind of braided together?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you noticed that epigraph, because W.G. Sebald was probably my biggest influence. I don't know if you've read his books, but he's so, you know, he's amazingly intelligent and gifted, but he does weave large historical events and quirky, you know, he kind of goes for the quirky and the odd moments within these larger historical movements with the personal. Although he doesn't strictly write memoir, but he, in this very personal voice, but also traveling through. And so I feel like his sensibility matched up most closely with the journey that I was on. I did get a lot more personal because I was going, you know, because I explored relationships.
And
more.
Your family relationship, yeah. Your mother, yeah. And grandmother too.
Yeah, right. But he remains my absolute favorite writer still.
We've been talking with DJ Lee, author of the new book, Remote, Finding Home in the Bitterroots, from Oregon State University Press. DJ will be reading, along with Tina Ontiveros, at a special live stream event organized by Portland's Two Rivers Bookstore tomorrow, Thursday, September 17th at 6:30 p.m. You can find out more on DJ's website, debbiejlee.com, and you can register for the event at tworiversbooks.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.